Good morning, everybody. Nice to be together on this rainy, windy morning. Eh? And I'm very excited just for even just the season that we're in, man, because let me just say, how well did Kate do this morning, eh? It's the first time she's led worship. Yeah, it's the first time she's led worship. I sat with her last night, and she prepped all the songs, and she's went through them with her, and she was very nervous this morning, but she just led so well, man. She's actually run off now to serve on Kids Ablaze. So anyway, man, thank you, Lord, for our children, man, that are coming through, hey? Serving Jesus, giving their lives for the Lord, and families, man, that are just given. It just made me think of that scripture where I think Joshua said, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord, you know. And it's just, praise the Lord, man, for our children that are just coming into even their own giftings and callings, eh? Rebecca, Carla, Jake, Ava, Guy, well done, Guy. Sorrel, you know. We're all children of God. So what I want to do this morning is I want to unpack something for us. I mean, over the last few weeks, I've been doing my own little study. Well, actually, probably the past 6 weeks, actually 2 months, nah, 6 weeks, because I'm wanting to actually do a bit of a series next year at some point. But the Lord's really been speaking to me about what are the things that attract His favor. You know, we've been talking about follow the favor. And we've been talking about how we've just really experienced the favor of God in the area of like properties and even just finances and seeing people getting healed, seeing people getting born again. Last year, I mean, we saw just almost at one point, it was every week for months, people were getting baptized. Sometimes like 7, 8, 9 people getting baptized, which is a sign of life amongst us. People getting born again, coming to Jesus, getting baptized, plugging into community, seeing their lives transformed. We've seen marriages come into fresh health, man. We've seen people coming into more and more of the giftings and callings on their lives. We've seen Jesus being glorified, yeah, week after week. Some communities, we've seen miracles, eh? We've seen signs and wonders. We've seen, I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but I know that there was one com where Carl doesn't speak. What language were you, was it? Pedi. He doesn't speak Pedi. I don't even think he knows how to spell Pedi. But anyway, he's praying for somebody in community, and then he starts speaking in tongues over this person. Like, praying in tongues over them. This person standing there going, yes, Jesus, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus, thank you, Lord, whatever. He didn't even know, but he's speaking Pedi while praying in tongues. And guys, we see this in the scriptures, eh? Because in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came on the early church, they were speaking in the languages of the different cult tribes, and that they were, and as the Holy Spirit enabled them. This year, we've seen that, man. I know I've mentioned this. We've seen fig trees being withered. I think that was last year. Lord, we want to see more trees being... No, I'm joking. We've seen... it's just been amazing. The favor of God. And I've been going, Lord, what is it that attracts your favor? What are the things that attract your favor? And the Bible actually lists... There's things where the Bible talks about that God really loves, that attracts His favor. And these things are like humility. God gives grace to the humble. Humility attracts the Lord. He loves humility because He's humble. He's glorious, but He's humble. He humbled Himself to take on the nature of a servant, eh? He humbled Himself even to death, death on a cross as God. Things like showing honor. The Bible says is that when we give honor to those where honor is due, it's something the Lord loves about that, that we're honoring those among us. We're honoring people even above ourselves. And the Bible says, consider others better than yourselves. Things like obedience. God loves obedience. He says that more than sacrifice, I want obedience, He says, I desire, you know. And things like honesty and truthfulness are things that attract the presence of God. Awesome to have my mom here as well with us today. And Katrin as well, Clay and Adele's mom from PM. I don't know. Let me not go down that road because I end up leaving people out. These are things that God loves. He finds attractive. And there's other lists. And I want to hit on one this morning. And I'm going to try and do it a little bit of justice. And the Bible actually says, it talks about these things make us shine like burning suns in the universe. The Bible talks about that. It says that these things actually make us stand out. Because humility is not something common. It's not something that you look for. Obedience to the Lord is not. When I actually resigned and stepped out of my company to go full-time with Oxygen Life Church, and I was resigning with my boss, going like, man, I'm pretty much going down to half my salary. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because I'm obeying the Lord. And he said, yeah, we had earmarked you for executive role, and we had this planned, and da-da-da. And I was just like, what can I do, Neil? What can I do? I'm honored by that, but what can I do? God has called me. I have to obey him. And he actually said to me, I don't think I've ever met anybody that obeys the Lord like that. And I said to him, you got to come move around in my circles, people, because I've got tons of people. I've got Brad and Ange who lead Oxygen Life Church. They've just given up everything to go to Australia. God called them there. Andrew's left everything, go to America because God called him there. We've got people, man. Matt and Rach left us here, left this thing. They're planning, and they are... We've got to pray for those guys in Plett, man. They are plowing in Plett, planting a congregation. It's hard. It's tough ground, but they're doing it, man. They're doing so well. There are people that are laying down their lives for the Lord, and God loves that obedience. And it causes us to stand out. It causes us to be different. And I want us to see something in the scriptures here because, you know, we live in this world where everybody's pretty much similar because we're in the world, and we can very often, and even the church, we can act like the world does. We can act like the world where we want promotion. We want to be the one in the front. I've preached into this a lot. You know, we don't want to be the one cleaning the toilets and serving. We want to be the one being served. Jesus talks about this. Who's the greater? Him reclining at the table, blah, blah, blah. He says, yes, but I am among you as one who serves. I am the servant, actually. And these things make us look different because we're actually going after something that's opposite to what the world's going after. And one of the things that I want to speak about, and this is a big one. If you read through the Bible, this one is a massive one in God's eyes. And we find it all over the Bible. And that is the issue of thankfulness and thanksgiving and grumbling and complaining. And actually, God loves a heart that's postured with thankfulness and thanksgiving. And actually, when we read the Bible, and I'm going to show us this, the standard is, the command of God is actually that there is zero complaining coming from his people. Nothing. I was like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Give me grace, because I was complaining yesterday about how bad PE drivers are, you know, cutting me off and, you know, going, Jesus, help me, man, by your grace, but help us to be a people, because we live it's a heart overflowing with contentment. And not being discontent the whole time, but that the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And actually, that as the people of God, we need to be living with total contentment with what the Lord has given us. Not envying and jealousy and not complaining because this isn't happening. We need to be living with contentment. And it's a heart overflowing with contentment and thanksgiving towards the Lord. And guys, it causes us to stand out. The Bible says, we'll look at it just now, but I want to start off with a story about a donkey. And there was once this donkey that lived on a farm, and it was quite a holy donkey, pure donkey, knew the Lord. And one day this donkey's cruising around and falls into a deep hole that it hadn't seen before, and it's stuck in this hole now, and after trying and trying to get out of this hole, donkey's trying to reach, trying to get in, it realizes, I can't get out of this hole, I'm stuck. And he starts to feel frustrated, you know, like, whoa, what this hole I'm in now, the circumstance that I find myself. And then all of a sudden he notices that his favorite plants for eating are like all over the bottom of this thing and are all around the wall, growing out of the wall. And he immediately postures his heart and says, thank you, Lord God, for providing this amazing food in the midst of my circumstance. And then he prays. He says, would you please help me get out of this hole? Would you help me get out of this hole? And about 5 minutes later, what happens is the farmer doesn't notice that the donkey's stuck in this hole. So he pulls in with a couple of wheelbarrows and just empties garbage all over the donkey's back in the hole. Like stinky garbage all over the poor donkey that's down there. And the donkey kind of settles his heart. It's like, I'm already in this hole now, and I've got garbage being poured on me. I want to, how many of you feel like that sometimes in life, eh? Where you feel like you're in a hole, you feel like, man, I'm struggling, and then it's just another pile of garbage gets dumped on you. Suddenly your car breaks down. It's like, oh, man, another thing. Or you lock your keys out your car, you get sick, or you cut your finger, or you lose your job, or you Your bonus gets taken that you thought you were going to get, or you know, it's the power goes out. It's like on Christmas Day, there's no power or something. You know what I mean? Suddenly, there's garbage thrown on you. And but he settles his heart. He prays again. He says, "Thank you, Lord, for the air in my lungs. Thank you, Lord, for the life you've given me. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful moon that I can see from my hole that I'm in. I can see this beautiful moon." And he shakes the garbage off him, and he steps on top of it. And later, the farmer dumps a bunch more wheelbarrows of garbage all over him. And the donkey thanks the Lord again. He says, "Thank you, Lord, for your love and your faithfulness towards me." And he shakes the garbage off and steps on top of it. And the next morning, the donkey's been sleeping in stinky garbage. But the next morning, the farmer dumps a few more wheelbarrows of smelly garbage on him again. And the donkey prays, "Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep." gets woken up by this garbage, and "Thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep." Shakes the garbage off him and steps on top of it. Later that morning and again in the afternoon, the same thing happens, and the donkey thanks the Lord each time. "Thank you, Lord, for who you are to me." And he shakes the garbage off and steps on it. And then just after dinner that day, the farmer dumps a truckload, pulls in a truck with full of stinky garbage, smelly, disgusting, like moist garbage. I don't know, I'm just thinking about the worst thing, because I'm the one that has to close our black bags and at home. And I'm like, and you know, anyway, they get disgusting. And the smelly garbage gets put on a truckload, it's just covered in garbage. And the donkey thanks the Lord, says, "Lord, thank you for the provision of garbage over me." That now basically has filled the hole, and he shakes the garbage off him and steps on top of the garbage and steps out of the hole into freedom. And thanking the Lord for helping him get out of the hole. And friends, the donkey had a choice. The Lord's not always going to help you out of holes. Because sometimes we find ourselves in holes and we're going, "Lord, help me in this situation." It's not always the way we think it's going to be. It's not always going to be a crane with rope to help lift you out the hole, or digging something, or couldn't you have just given me an elevator? But God provided garbage on his back. And sometimes the Lord also, when we find ourselves in holes, when we find ourselves in these situations, the donkey had a choice. He could have gotten consumed by this garbage, consumed by his circumstances, and allowed the garbage just to go, and he would have died in that hole, would have been consumed under it, would have sunk into it. But with a posture of thankfulness and praise towards the Lord, shook the garbage off, stood on top of it, in a sense danced upon the grave of his own stuff that's happening, praise the Lord, fix his eyes on Jesus, and continue to serve, continue to keep his eyes on him. And more garbage comes, and more garbage comes. And he continued with that posture, and eventually he came out into freedom. Hey? Amen. And the title of our message this morning is "The Awesome Power of Thankfulness." Or actually, another title could be "How to Keep Your Heart Free," or "How to Keep Your Heart Clean." Because our hearts get filled with the junk and the garbage of this world. And we'll learn how to shake the garbage off us. And one of the most powerful ways to do that is to begin to thank the Lord for what he's done. To begin to thank the Lord for who he is. Begin to see the donut instead of the hole. Begin to see what the Lord has given me and not what he hasn't given me. Begin to look and focus on the positive and fix your eyes on Jesus. And realize, you know what, we're living in a corrupt world anyway. But actually, I've already lost my life here. So I've got nothing to complain about, because I've died. And I'm not living for this life, I'm living for that life. I'm living for him, I'm living for Jesus. And all that I have, Paul says, the life I live in this body, I live now for the Son of God. So I've got nothing to complain about yet, because I'm a dead man. Dead people don't complain. We're living for that life. And we actually got to posture our hearts in that place so that we come through this world properly. And honor the Lord in all that we do, and shaking garbage off our back. Because I'm telling you, friends, garbage is going to come. Problems are going to come. Stuff's going to come at you. The devil's going to try and get you. Life is going to throw lemons at you. You know what I mean? Amen. Who's ever felt they've had garbage on their back? If you haven't had garbage on your back ever, then I don't know if you're actually alive or have left your home. Even in your home, your power's going to go out, or your light bulb's going to break, or something's going to rust, you know. But I think this is such an important issue, because there's so much complaining in the world today. Eh? It's complaining all around us. I hear it all the time. It gets into me. You hear it, you just switch on the news, man, and you hear about. And the problem is that as Christians, we're not shining as lights in the world the way we should. And the Bible teaches us, let's read this in Philippians 2, verse 14 to 16. Listen to this. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure children. So let's just go back. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. So no complaining, none. And the reason we do this, and if we do this, it says that we, next one, so if we don't do that, we're not going to become this. But if we do that, it says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. And then it says, then, when we posture ourselves without any grumbling, any complaining, any arguing, and we just fix our eyes on Jesus, and we posture our hearts with thanksgiving towards Him, and we allow garbage to get put on our backs and shake it off. Put on our backs, and no matter how much garbage comes, we shake it off. And the Lord is with us in that, you know. It says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Next one. As you hold firmly to the word of life, then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Guys, that's quite a serious scripture, eh? It's quite a scripture. Do everything without grumbling or complaining. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. Listen to this. Paul writing again to the church in Thessalonica. He says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks when things are going well for you. Give thanks when you get that promotion. When you get that finance comes through for that new car. Give thanks. What does it say? Give thanks in all circumstances. Whether you're in a hole with garbage being thrown on you, give thanks. And the Lord is with you in that. The Lord will provide a way out. The Lord will. And then it says that, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many of us want to walk in the will of God for our lives? Hey, it would be all of us. How many of us want to obey the Lord and walk in His perfect will? Well, it says the will of God for you is to give thanks in all circumstances. We can't escape it, guys. It's something we've got to beat our bodies into submission. We've got to catch ourselves. We've got to train our bodies. Paul says, I beat my body into submission in obedience to Christ. You know, we've got to take every thought captive as it comes. These are things as Christians we've got to practice so that we can begin to do this. And the Bible says as we do it, we're walking in the will of God and we are becoming like, we're shining like stars in a world because everyone else is complaining, but we're not. We're not. No grumbling off our lips. Why? Because we have a hope that the world doesn't know about. We're living for something else. We've seen something that they haven't seen yet. And actually, if we are just joining with them about complaining about everything, we've actually lost sight of what we have. And I'll share a little bit about that now. So a little bit of psychology. So I read a little bit up in a psychology book about this. And they've actually discovered now, scientifically, they've proven, and it's now part of common psychology, is that complaining or grumbling is bad for your brain. Did you know that? It's almost like the Lord knew what He was doing, eh? The Lord knew what He was saying to us. It's like He knows us so well. But they've discovered that it's bad for your brain. Studies have shown that the average person complains between 15 to 30 times a day. And research from Stanford and other universities have found that complaining reduces the size of your hippocampus in your brain, a big part of your brain. It reduces the size of your hippocampus, which is responsible for memory and problem solving. If you postured as complaining all the time, your hippocampus gets reduced and you can't solve problems. You can't remember things. It's actually true. They found this. It reduces that. The study found that engaging in complaining, or listen to this, simply hearing someone complain for more than 30 minutes could physically damage our brains. This is how serious this is, guys, because sometimes we yell like, Thanksgiving, arguing. God is holy. God has called us to be perfect as He's perfect. God has called us to position our minds. God, the Bible says that we are to love the Lord with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds. all our strength. This is what the greatest command is. And when we're complaining, we're not loving God. We're complaining. It can physically, even if you just hear complaining. So I've actually started, even when I'm at the office and somebody starts moaning or something, I'm going, dude, please, you're damaging my brain. I actually said that to him. You're actually damaging my brain right now. It's like you're giving me cocaine. I mean, can you please go complain somewhere else? Damage your own brain. So in neuroscience, it's the way they phrase it is synapses that fire together, wire together. So as you fire synapses in the area of complaining or grumbling, what happens is, and I mean, I've got a doctor here. Okay, you're not a neuroscientist, but Corinne, very, very, very good doctor. But the different synapses in your brain actually build bridges together. And those bridges get stronger and stronger the more we engage in something. And actually, it becomes easier and easier and easier to do the thing that you're doing. It's called addiction. So actually, when you complain, you get addicted to complaining. That's actually what they found in neuroscience. And the opposite is true as well, thanksgiving. If we posture ourselves and we choose to give thanks in all circumstances, it actually starts to become, those synapses fire together. So essentially what it's saying is the more frequently you complain, you increase your likelihood of thinking negative thoughts later. You actually train your brain to see the hole and not the donut. You train your brain to see that the glass is half empty and not half full. You train your brain to see the negative stuff going on around you, not to see the goodness of God towards you and what He's given you. And we actually position our hearts away from the Lord as we engage in complaining all the time. Everyone with me, eh? All right, let me skip over some of that scientific stuff. So once you have a thought, it's much easier for you to have that thought again, which isn't great news, eh, for complainers and pessimists, because if you are pessimistic, you're going to have pessimistic thoughts again. If you complain, you're going to have more to complain about, and we found this, eh? You actually get yourself in a bit of a rut where you're just complaining about everything. Oh, man, this is happening. Oh, my toilet's now overflowing. Oh, man, this thing, yeah. Oh, I don't have, where's the glasses? All the glasses are dirty. They're in the dishwasher. All the knives and forks. I mean, this happens in a house. There's not a single knife and fork, you know, a spoon. Or where's my coffee? Who's, you know? And you just get in this thing. Yes, amen? This is also true if you're frequently around people who complain, or if you're a complainer and people hang around you. Another thing that they found, listen to this, it's not only that complaining is terrible for your brain, but it's also bad for your health. And the scientific studies have found is that when we complain, the hormone cortisol is released into the body, which is responsible. Everyone heard of cortisol? Why are you looking around, Adele? You're going like, it's like, yo, I better stop complaining. No jokes. Yeah, cortisol is released into your body, which is also responsible for our flight or fight responses, which is like a fight or flight. And our fight or flight responses is activated. When it's activated, our brain redirects blood, oxygen, and energy away from non-essential systems. And so repeated complaining results in cortisol being released at higher levels. They've found this. Putting us at more risk of developing things like heart disease, high cholesterol, diabetes, obesity, and strokes. One study in the archives of general psychiatry found that on average, optimists tend to live longer than pessimists. Optimists were found to have a 55% lower risk of death across all causes and were 23% likely to die of heart disease. It's almost like the Lord knows our bodies. It's like He created us, hey, fearfully and wonderfully made. And then He gives us the way that we can live healthy. We can live full and joyful lives. We can do this. It's actually, you just got to posture this. He's not just telling you, you mustn't be a complainer because it makes me feel terrible. It's actually for your own good. Stop complaining. Stop grumbling, man. So let's come back to the scripture, Philippians 2:14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. So that you would become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them. You'll shine among this warped and crooked world as stars in the sky. Okay? It's easy to breeze past that word everything. Do everything without grumbling. Everything. It says everything. If you read the ESV, it says do all things without grumbling or complaining. Sometimes we had to come in here this morning and there was just dust all over everything. And my immediate response was like, oh, why didn't they clean all? But do everything. It's okay, we've got to sweep the hall. Let's go. We didn't plan on this. Suddenly more people had to rock up to help because we didn't plan. We didn't, you know. God's sweeping willingly. No grumbling, no complaining. It's like, man, you know what? We're in a hole. The garbage has just been thrown on our back. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to serve your people. Thank you, Jesus. Now we'll talk to the powers that be to say, please, can you clean up when you finish? You know what I mean? It's not to say we mustn't be real and in a sense, you know, deal with problems and go like, hey, man, like even the donkey in the hole, he said, Lord, please help me get out of this hole. That's not cool being in this hole. But thank you for, you know, it's not grumbling in a bad-tempered way. Yeah, everything. Do everything. And does that really mean everything? So I was very convicted when I read this. Hey? You wake up with a sore throat. Thank you, Jesus. You receive criticism from somebody. Like, you're just a terrible person. You're a horrible employer. You just suck, man. Where you got to pay your taxes, you see the tax coming off of your paycheck. Thank you, Jesus. Or you get a parking ticket, you got to shovel dog poo because your children forgot to shovel, do their chores. You got to get out there. It's like, oh, more dog poo. You got to host people in your home. You got to wash dishes. Hear about the government's latest failure change. You got to change a flat tire. You got to sit down and answer like 500 emails when you get back from leave. You get to the cupboard. There's no clean cups. Like all the cups have been used because your children just take a new one every time, you know. So we're busy training. We're busy working on that. You might go like, yo, this is a hard teaching, eh? This is hard. And in John 6, verse 60 to 61, the disciples said that. That says, so when they heard the teaching of Jesus, many of the disciples said to Jesus, said, Jesus, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? How are we supposed to do this, Lord? This is hard. And Jesus, aware that his disciples were grumbling about it. We can even grumble about the command not to grumble, eh? Like, don't grumble. Oh, phew, that's so hard, man. Come on. And he's going, oh, my word. That's what Jesus actually said. How long should I endure with you, man? How long must I be with you? Jesus said to them, he's aware they're grumbling. He says, does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? And he says, the spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. What he's saying is that your flesh counts for nothing, because what complaining comes out of the flesh. So, as I said, this is actually, there's a lot that we can go into here. And I want to, it's a serious to God. I mean, God, in we see in the Old Testament, Israel regularly would grumble against God, eh? And against Moses. And God had a lot to say about this. God, I mean, Numbers 11, verse 1 to 3, it says, now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused, and fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the place was called Deborah. So God doesn't like complaining, grumbling. In Numbers 21, 4 to 6, I won't read it, but essentially they started to speak against Moses and that and complain at God and going, man, we're just eating manna. They were getting provided manna miraculously. It would literally fall from the sky, food. God was providing for them. Shoes didn't wear out. They would get provision. God was leading them to a promised land where they'd live in houses they didn't build, drink out of wells they didn't dig, and eat out of vineyards they didn't plant, the land flowing with milk and honey. And they're complaining, oh, man, we're so sick and tired of manna. We want meat. They said, we want meat. And they start complaining and blah, blah, blah. So the Lord, it says, we detest, they say, we detest this miserable food, this manna. And the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses. They realized, oh my word, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Complaining is sinful, guys. When we go, there's a place of going like something's wrong and we need to fix it, to actually grumbling. which is actually a bad temper. It's something that comes out of it. It's a grumbling. It's a selfishness. The Lord, and we sinned against the Lord. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away. So Moses prayed, and the Lord said, and this is that picture we get of Jesus, actually. They said, put a snake around this pole, lift it up, and when people look at it, they will be healed. And actually, it's a picture of Jesus. When people look to the cross, they look at Jesus on the cross, they can be born again and saved. And we get that picture. And we might be going, yeah, but Craig, that's Old Testament, man. They were living under the law, you know. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9 to 11, let's read this quickly. He says this. He says, church, we should not put Christ to the test, as some of them did when they died from snake bites. It says, and don't grumble, as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. So friends, this is not, we can't presume on the grace of God. The Bible talks about it. We presume on the kindness of God. And actually, there's a command to do everything without complaining. We've got to wrestle our hearts. And we know, I don't think we'll get this perfect, but there needs to be a posturing in our hearts to say, Lord, help me not to be a grumbler. Help me, Lord, to posture my heart. When we find ourselves grumbling, saying, Lord, forgive me. Take it seriously. Like, Lord, help me to be one who sees you, looks to you, and who is a person that is a thankful person, that lives with thanksgiving. And let me end with this. Hebrews 12, verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. How do we worship God acceptably? Through thankfulness. Every time you're saying, Jesus, thank you for who you are. In the midst of a storm, going, Lord, help me, I'm in a storm. But Lord, thank you for being with me. Thank you, Lord, for goodness. Our hearts don't cross over into grumbling. We keep our posture. Jesus, we fix our eyes on you. Man, even if this, like, I mean, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to get thrown in a fire, and they're going, you know what? You can throw us in the fire. We're not bowing to your gods. We're not bowing to this thing that's trying to suck our worship from the Lord onto this, which is what happens when we complain. We're not worshiping your idol. You can throw us in the furnace. He says, and our God is able to save us. But then they say this, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow to your God. And there needs to be this thing in us going, you know what, even if God doesn't get me out of this hole, even if God's, I don't live my life to get from God. God's already given me everything. He's given me eternal life. And if I never get another thing from God for the rest of my life, I'm going to be with him for eternity. And I will suffer and die and live my life, take up my cross, deny myself and follow him no matter what happens, because I'm living for that life. I'm living for him. I'm living for his glory. And if it means I suffer and I'm going to continue to thank the Lord for what he's done. Yeah? There's got to be a bit of spine in us, man, a bit of backbone, like a rod of steel that gets put into our spine so that we're not buckling under garbage all the time. So friends, let me say this. When we constantly complain, and I'll end with this phrase and then just a few scriptures. When we constantly complain, we shift our eyes from the goodness of God and we focus on the accomplishments of the devil. We bow down and worship the devil by declaring that the troubles of this world outweigh the immensity of the infinite goodness of our God and what he's given to us. Let me read that again. When we constantly complain or grumble, we shift our eyes from the goodness of God and we focus our attention on the accomplishments of the devil. We bow down and worship the devil by declaring that the troubles of this world outweigh the immensity of the infinite goodness of our God and what he's given to us. And we've got to take our thoughts captive. We've got to shift our eyes from the troubles of the world. Like Peter walking on the water, he started to see the waves and he started to see the sprays. He was walking on water. He started to see the stuff going on around him and fear, stuff got into his heart. He started to sink. But when his eyes were fixed on Jesus, he was walking on the water. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And, okay. Skip over that. I just want to read a couple of scriptures here and we'll end around thankfulness. Psalm 95, verse 2 to 3. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. We don't come into his presence going, oh, God, look at my love. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, we come into his presence with thanksgiving. And then we can present our prayers and requests to the Lord. But we come into his presence with thanksgiving. It says, let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. John Piper said in his book, Future Grace, he says, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. And guys, we're never going to get satisfied with the world. Your car might satisfy you for a little while, but trust me, when that thing starts breaking down, we had a car that did that. And that broke down literally. We would literally be driving it, waiting for something to go wrong. And it was terrible. And the Lord taught us how to, because I could complain about that car. And now we've got a car that's not shaking. which is awesome. But that car is eventually going to break down. You cannot find your satisfaction in the world. We've got to find it in God. He is, when we are most satisfied in him, he's glorified. When we start to look for our satisfaction in other things and we start grumbling, complaining, he stops being glorified. Ephesians 5, 19 to 20. Sing and make music to your hearts in the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord. This is commands to us in the word as God's holy people. This is what we're called to be and to do, to reflect as we shine in this world. Bunch of complainers all over the place. As the church, we arise with the power of God in us and we're declaring the wonders of God and the goodness of God, and we posture ourselves with thankfulness towards him in the midst of it. It's like, how can you be giving thanks, man? You just lost this, your job, or you just lost your... It's like, well, my life's in the Lord's hands. I just loved sitting with Sarah and Lorenzo on Friday night. Sarah was sharing about he lost his job. He got, I think it was retrenched, or I don't want to take away because I want you to share your testimony at some point, but his immediate response and their response was, Lord, our life's in your hands. They're in a hole, like a donkey in a hole, going, we don't know what we're going to do, but Lord, we know you're faithful. We know you're faithful. And then they've said, to this day, they have not been wanting at all. They sometimes don't even know how this is happening, how they're coming in. But they are. The Lord is providing their needs miraculously, and there's the garbage was thrown out. They're shaking it off, and they giving thanks, Father, for everything. Psalm 9 verse 1 to 2. I love this. David says, "I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart." Sometimes we need to say, "Listen here, soul, you will give thanks to the Lord." Sometimes, honestly, life is going on. We just want to complain. Our mind's full of stuff. And we got to go, yeah, get off me complaining. I will give thanks to the Lord. Lord, thank you. We position our hearts. We take our body thoughts captive. We beat our bodies. We go, I will give thanks to the Lord. David's running. He's in the desert. His son's trying to take the throne. I will give thanks to the Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know. But I'm going to thank the Lord for who he is. And we shine like stars. And we glorify God in that place. And we actually, the world sees something's different about these people, hey? And then, I'll end, Revelation 4:9. Even the living creatures around the throne. Right now, as we're sitting here right now, the Bible says there's living creatures flying around the throne, worshiping the Lord 24/7. And it says, whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne, and it lives forever and ever. They are up there giving thanks to the Lord. And that's the only right posture for us. As the church is a type of what happens in heaven. Our worship is a type of what happens in heaven. It's the right posture for us as his people is to get rid of all grumbling, all complaining from our lips. We need to repent, guys. We need to bring our hearts before Ren and say, Lord, help me with your grace to become this person, to shift my heart and to become a thanksgiver rather than a grumbler. And so we glorify God and we walk in his will for our lives.